Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Case for Trump is a Political and Historical Analysis by Victor Davis Hanson, that argues Donald Trump's rise and presidency should be understood as a disruption of a long-standing political order rather than as an isolated anomaly. Written in a defensive and interpretive mode, the book examines how an outsider with no prior political or military career was able to defeat established Republican rivals, overcome a well-funded Democratic opponent, and bypass a hostile media and Washington establishment. Hanson presents Trump as a response to elite drift, economic dislocation, and cultural frustration in parts of the United States that felt ignored by both parties. The book also uses classical references, especially the idea of the tragic hero, to frame Trump as a flawed figure whose disruptive traits could still produce public gains. It is therefore both a commentary on contemporary politics and an attempt to interpret Trump through a broader historical lens. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Trump as an outsider who exposed the weakness of the political establishment. A central argument of the book is that Trump succeeded because he was not a conventional politician. Hanson emphasizes that Trump entered politics without the usual background of military service, elected office, or party loyalty, and that this made him attractive to voters frustrated by what they saw as stagnant leadership. The book treats the 2016 election as evidence that the existing political class had lost credibility with a large part of the electorate. By defeating 16 Republican rivals and then a heavily funded Democratic opponent, Trump is presented as someone who revealed how vulnerable the establishment had become. Hanson's point is not simply that Trump was unconventional, but that his very unconventionality was politically useful. It allowed him to speak outside normal elite language, challenge bipartisan consensus, and force issues such as immigration, trade, and national decline back into the center of debate. The argument depends on the idea that disruption can be valuable when institutions have become detached from the people they claim to serve. Secondly, a defense of Trump based on policy outcomes rather than style, Hanson does not ignore Trump's abrasiveness, but he repeatedly shifts attention from personality to results. The book argues that Trump's presidency should be judged by policy gains such as border security, tax cuts, deregulation, judicial appointments, stronger energy production, and a more assertive posture in foreign affairs. This is an important feature of the book because it separates conduct from governance. Hanson concedes that Trump was often rude, chaotic, and inflammatory, yet insists that these traits did not prevent effective administration. In his view, Trump's bluntness helped him pursue objectives that more polished politicians would avoid or dilute. The book therefore frames style as politically consequential but not politically decisive. What matters is whether the presidency produced measurable changes that benefited the country. This approach makes the book a defense not of Trump's refinement or moral authority, but of his practical impact. Readers are invited to evaluate Trump as a governing instrument, not as a model of decorum. Thirdly, the working class interior versus the coastal elite divide. Another major theme is the social and regional divide that Hanson believes shaped Trump's appeal. The book argues that Trump recognized and exploited the resentment of Americans in the interior of the country who felt dismissed by coastal elites in both parties. This is one of the book's most important explanatory claims because it places Trump's success within a larger story of economic and cultural displacement. Hanson suggests that globalism, outsourcing, elite consensus, and urban-centered politics left many voters feeling politically homeless. Trump's message, while often crude, spoke directly to that sense of abandonment. The book presents this not merely as a campaign tactic, but as a real political opening that had gone unaddressed for years. Hanson's analysis implies that the Republican and Democratic establishments both underestimated the depth of this divide. In that sense, the book is less about Trump alone than about the conditions that made a Trump victory possible. It argues that his appeal came from articulating grievances that established leaders had either ignored or actively managed as peripheral concerns. Fourthly, classical tragedy as a framework for understanding Trump. Hanson's use of classical tragedy gives the book its most distinctive intellectual frame. Rather than treating Trump simply as a modern populist or partisan leader, Hanson compares him to the tragic hero, a flawed figure, whose defects are inseparable from his effectiveness. This framework is designed to explain why Trump can appear personally troubling while still serving a larger public function. In classical tragedy, the hero's strengths and weaknesses are bound together, and Hanson applies that logic to Trump's aggression, vanity, and lack of refinement. The argument is that traits often judged as disqualifying in ordinary politics may become useful in moments of institutional breakdown. The tragic model also suggests limits. Such a leader may achieve necessary disruption, but cannot remain in power indefinitely without producing backlash. This makes the book more than a defense of one president. It becomes an attempt to read contemporary politics through older ideas about character, fate, and public necessity. Whether or not readers accept the comparison, it clearly distinguishes the book from standard campaign commentary. Lastly, an anti-elite diagnosis of decline and national renewal. The book is built on the premise that the United States had been drifting before Trump, and that conventional leaders lacked the will to correct that drift. Hansen portrays Trump as someone who appeared at a moment of accumulated weakness, political fatigue, economic frustration, bureaucratic inertia, and foreign policy uncertainty. In this sense, the book is as much about decline as it is about Trump. Hansen argues that a society that has grown comfortable with elite management may need an outsider willing to break norms to restore momentum. That claim gives the book its broader significance, because it links Trump's rise to a theory of national renewal through disruption. The upside of this view is its insistence that public order sometimes requires hard, unglamorous intervention. The risk is that the same disruptive energy can create instability, which Hansen acknowledges. Still, the book maintains that the costs of inaction were greater than the dangers of a volatile presidency. This tension between necessity and risk is a defining feature of the argument and helps explain why the book remains politically charged. In conclusion, The Case for Trump will be most useful to readers who want to understand how Trumpism was defended by one of its most articulate conservative intellectual supporters. It is especially relevant for readers interested in American politics, populism, elite backlash, and the role of historical interpretation in political argument. The book offers more than a simple partisan defense. It tries to explain why Trump appealed to so many voters, what institutional failures made that appeal possible, and why his presidency should be evaluated through outcomes rather than manners. For readers sympathetic to Trump, it provides a structured intellectual justification that connects policy, culture, and history. For critics, it offers a clear window into the reasoning that made Trump politically persuasive to millions of Americans, even among readers who reject the conclusion. What makes the book stand out in its genre is Hansen's combination of contemporary political commentary with classical analogies and civilizational language. Instead of writing a standard campaign defense, he frames Trump as a disruptive historical figure shaped by national decline and dramatic necessity. That gives the book unusual scope, even when readers disagree with its conclusions. If you would like to support Victor Davis Hansen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.